It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Well, we're not afraid here and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, but a lot of people are relatively confused. And I tell you, as a young man, I'm not even a young man, I was 3 years old. You know, my father gets out of the Air Force. He takes us to Florida. He introduces me to this old woman. He says, hey, she's going to watch you now during the day. We'll bring you over, yada, yada, yada. A couple weeks go by. My grandmother, you know, it was grandma. That doesn't mean nothing to me. Grandma. So, you know, whatever, grandma. She tells me, he goes, when your dad was little, oh, you knew my dad when he was little, when he was my age? Yeah, he's my son. Nobody shared that with me.
Skype.
You know, nobody said that. Nobody just happened to come up and say, you know, we have, this woman is your grandmother, which is the mother of your dad. I thought that the police issued you your grandmother. Seriously. How messed up can you have a 3-year-old kid that he's already aware of government enough to think that they're issuing women to watch you? I mean, think about that. This is the mid-60s. How bad do you think it is now? Heck, you know, Sesame Street's doing what? Well, there's a lot of stuff going on this hour. You know, I wanted to make sure that we got the checkup on what's happening around the country with... In northern New Mexico, we have Adam Kokesh. He had a little run-in with the Republican Party that he came out smelling good. And I wanted to talk to him. Adam, I got you there?
Yes, you do. Thanks for having me on this morning, Ernie. Appreciate it.
Adam, go ahead and introduce. Let me give a quick I tell you what, let me go ahead. This is a short segment, and we'll go in and begin in the next segment. I'll have you go ahead and give your own introduction. But I want to tell the audience who you are.
Sure.
Adam.
You want to tell him? Go ahead.
Yeah, you know I know Adam. You know, it makes me look good. You know, the Adam, I introduced him. My first interface with Adam was at the Revolution March in Washington D.C. In
that's not true. You already screwed it up, Ernie.
All right. When did I first meet you?
The night before, after putting up signs. Actually, it was two nights before. Putting up signs with Donna, and then the night before at the pub in Georgetown.
Well, at the general event, okay? So what happened was Adam was putting up a lot of the signs that we had brought with Donna and had read the speech that he was going to give, and it was, but we found out the hard way that the enemies of the Constitution are right here at home and not, you know, somewhere else. So that became huge. I read the speech the following day because Donna said I really needed to read this thing. We went to dinner. I read it. I'm like, oh, I already know what's going to happen. This is cool. And I had no idea he was going to give such a good delivery. But when he did this, rocked the house. And then right after Adam was Chuck Baldwin and then Ron Paul. And since then, you know, I just went around calling him congressman because I knew it was going to happen. You know, everybody's going to be pushing him. I said, because a lot of these young guys are able to articulate the freedom message well and represent that generation. They are much rarer than people realize. This is not as common as people think. These guys have an enormous amount of influence with a whole generation that they need to just share the love with. Well, he's running for Congress in northern New Mexico now. And, man, he's coming up against La Machine, which is the same on the left and the right. So we're going to hear about what he's doing in his battles against the machine when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with Adam Kokesh.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. On the line, we got Adam Kokesh running for Congress in northern New Mexico in the Santa Fe, Taos area up there. And he's going up against an incumbent Democrat that happens to be the son of the Speaker of the House or something like that, right?
That's correct. Ben Ray Lujan, son of Ben Lujan, the architect. They're one of the architects of the corrupt Democrat machine here that has so many people in places like Rio or Riva County who claim to be Democrats for health reasons.
For health reasons? What does that mean?
There were a series of Republican households that were actually burned down recently. Actually, I shouldn't say recently. This was during the 2008 cycle. And this is just rumors that we're hearing, that they were spray-painted Obama before they were burned down. Those three homes in Rio Riva County.
So they play dirty politics in New Mexico is what you're saying.
Right. Well, but what we have confirmed from numerous anecdotal stories is that if you are not a registered Democrat in certain places of New Mexico, you cannot get work permits, building permits, or get anything done through the state or local government. And we knew a guy who had he was actually a registered Democrat, but didn't know the right people and pissed some of them off, and he was trying to get a sand and gravel operation started in his community. It took him 7 years just to get through the state and local permitting process, and they wonder why they have such poverty in these areas. Well, that's 7 years of jobs that didn't exist for those people, and so there's a lot of discontent. There are a lot of conservative Democrats of a very wide range of political beliefs that really just have been sucked into the system by the inherent corruption of it.
Well, how different is the Republican? The same thing here in Arizona. They'll have the left and right going, ouch, quit it, ouch, quit it, ouch, quit it. You get high enough up on the pyramid, it's the same people controlling both sides anyway.
Oh, yeah. And believe me, I don't have any, love lost for the Republican Party leadership here. And, among Republican candidates, I might be one of the few who will just come out and say it, that the national leadership of the Republican Party has become just as corrupt as the Democrats at this point. And it does have a trickle-down effect. We've seen it here with the leadership of the Republican Party in New Mexico. But they are still so divorced from the base. And when the base hears a message of true constitutional liberty, it really resonates with them. But among the leadership, there's a certain credibility to the phrase country club Republicans. And a certain xenophobia, not just in the ways that we traditionally think of xenophobia in this country, but ideologically as well. So,
well, they have a situation to where you have an opportunity to bring in a lot of young people that you represent, a lot of activism and a lot of passion to revitalize the Republican Party, but they. I know how this stuff works. These guys, they just want a bunch of young people to come in and be their mules. They just want to put them in the fields. They want them to work and do what they want them to do. They don't want you to come in and actually do what you want to do.
Yeah, and this is the sad thing about the conservative movement now. Really at a crossroads, kind of resisting its own future. And I think we saw this play out at CPAC when Ron Paul won the straw poll. With a decisive victory, 31 to 22 points over Mitt Romney, with all of the other favored hopefuls registering in the single digits there. And all of a sudden, all the old guard conservative pundits going, oh, well, that doesn't really matter. It's just a straw poll. Oh, it's just CPAC. Whereas in the past, it had built up a huge reputation as being a very, very important straw poll. And all of a sudden, oh, it's just because there's a lot of youth there. Incidentally, there were less students at CPAC this year than there have been historically, but even if that was true, that it was just because there's a lot of youth there, that's a really sad statement, about the conservative movement. If all of the old guard pundits are just so blatantly dismissing the future of our own movement instead of, bringing it in, including it, and we're going to build a broad-based coalition. We're going to build the Republican Party as the party of big tent, smaller government, as Reagan advised. and we're going to be open to bringing in segments of the society that believe in, you know, agree with us on core values, but, you know, might have some strong disagreements on other things. And it just so happens that that's pretty much the youth of the modern conservative movement. It's trending towards the libertarian philosophy and seeing that the old guard wants to resist it. And I think that's really that's the greatest source of the split and divisiveness we see in the modern conservative movement.
Let me ask you this. I want to, you know, this is something we've been talking about on the show, and in fact I had this conversation with Dr. Paul last month, and and it comes down to this. You know, the Tea Parties are like controlled opposition by, you know, Fox News, Clear Channel kind of. There's a lot of people out there are genuinely concerned. They want to know. They get all these people up and they got the permit for the stage and paid for the microphone. And they say, see, all these people are ours. And they're just going to start dwindling away. And the point that I want to make is this. The core behind all of this is, no matter how much Glenn Beck will say how much he can spell libertarian and all this other stuff, the one core thing that you can see that they will not budge on and never have throughout history, that in my entire lifetime, was two things. One, financial support of Israel, and two, the military-industrial complex where we got bases overseas. They will not stop foreign aid to all the countries, you know, including, I mean, they use Israel as the excuse, but, I mean, it's everywhere that they send our money overseas. Then you have these military bases everywhere, and they will not even contemplate that they would ever just bring them back and the troops back and just defend, take care of here. And you're a Marine in Fallujah. You know, so this is obviously got to, you know, have an opinion, man.
Yeah. I don't think it's quite fair to call the Tea Party movement itself controlled opposition, because it really is a very nebulous movement, and there really are a lot of independent groups. I mean, even here in New Mexico,
agreed,
we have a group in Santa Fe that's totally different from the group in Albuquerque, and you know, the group in Albuquerque is very, very inclusive. More so than the Republican Party, and brings in a lot of people. There are attempts, by those forces that you mentioned, by, I think, Fox News, you know, to control this opposition and channel it to their end, but that's nothing new. But I don't think it's fair to call the Tea Party movement as a whole controlled opposition. And then it's funny, you mentioned, you know, you're right about the reluctance about of the conservative establishment about Israel and the military-industrial complex. But then you mentioned Glenn Beck, you know, who is an interesting ally in this. And he's actually really come around on, you know, not so much directly on the global war on terror, but on foreign policy as a whole, and has come out and said, let's bring the troops home from Japan and Korea and Germany and all these other bases around the world. And that's something that he has really broke on that's very exciting. But also, this is what makes my campaign so significant as an Iraq veteran who's stood up so strongly against the war in Iraq and done so in a way that I think plays off of conservative motivations and so-called conservative principles. You know, I mean, talking about the Iraq war through the lens of the Christian just war theory really throws a lot of these people for a loop here. And so that's why we've experienced a certain pushback from the establishment. But more importantly, there's that neoconservative element within the movement today that, of course, is neither new nor conservative and is based on a certain subservient authoritarian mentality. And, you know, my background's in psychology, and I'm just kind of exploring this, but I think a lot of that mentality is produced by child abuse, that it creates a warped view of authority and people who are literally psychologically incapable of being free for themselves. They need to have a chain of command structure imposed on society just for their own psychological comfort and well-being, to think that there is someone that is in charge of them and that they are in charge of somebody else. And for that small element within the Republican Party, that there is that vocal minority. But among the rest of the Republican Party, among the base, you know, the 90%, they hold a wide range of views on foreign policy. But they're all open to hearing this perspective from a veteran, and that's very cool. And it's it's very fun in the context of this race to be able to force the issues that way.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you're there doing it. But I want to dwell on this Beck thing a little bit, because my brother-in-law, he was Republican, hardcore. I mean, he literally, when I was going around, I visited him on my way in the Northeast. He lives in Chesapeake, and he was 6 years as a nuke tech on the Dallas, a submarine, mm-hmm. nuclear submarine. Mm-hmm. Now he does refurb for a private contractor or DOD something on when they come into the shipyards there. And yep. he's Fox News watching, God, you know, pounding, get the Muslim Republican that actually had a picture of Bush and W and Laura Bush on his mantle. Okay, I mean, this is how deep he was. He registered libertarian a few weeks ago. And he's like,
well, congratulations.
Yeah, no, he's stepping in the right direction. When we come back, you know, I want to share a perspective and shift, you know, from him and get your comment on it, because he's a big Beck supporter. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Hey, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms, with an S, Phoenix.com. I got Adam Kokesh. He is a revolutionary running for Congress as a Republican in northern New Mexico against La Machine. But I want to ask you this. I know your buds on Fox, man. You're on Fox a lot. Judge Napolitano knows everything. But I got to get some truth on this thing with this Beck deal. My brother-in-law, big Beck supporter. Last time I was there, he's got Beck's books on his coffee table. Ooh, everybody be quiet. It's time for Beck. Okay, get the chalkboard out. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. I mean, you know, step in the right direction, I guess. And I was talking to Dr. Paul about this. And yeah, you know, we got Stossel and Judge Napolitano and Beck coming around and all this. But this is my point. It's about the Tea Party Express. It's about the speaking there. It's about, you know, the move, anything that they do to try and encompass the libertarian mindset. I saw this before. They did this with the Contract with America, Contract on America, by Newt Gingrich back in 94. It was the Reagan Revolution. Government is the problem. All that. I keep seeing this. I'm old enough to see this cycle, and they're doing it again. But the one thing, there's one thing that they never touch, and that is the horns of the empire. They never want to bring it in. So you're saying Beck is saying, hey, you know, my philosophy is, I mean, is he picking and choosing? We don't need to be in Japan and Germany, but we need to be in South Korea? Or is he saying everything needs to come in?
Well, he was speaking in broad terms, and you can look this up. He apologized to Ron Paul supporters because he referred to us as terrorists during the campaign. But, you know, and I'm not endorsing Beck by any means as someone who believes in the philosophy. You know, it's almost, you know, in some ways it's more dangerous to have someone in his position come close to the philosophy without coming all the way, because then they're not, you know, they get a lot of support for speaking from the libertarian perspective, but they don't, you know, they don't have the consistency, and they develop this credibility, and in the ways in which they diverge from the philosophy really, you know, has some danger in leading people astray.
Yeah, like in war.
right, exactly. Oh, yeah, very dangerous in terms of actually leading to massive human suffering and death. But there's, you know, it's still just, you know, I really do like Glenn Beck. You know, I really like the way he's come around. And he's at least been able to address things with an open mind, and I think that's really important.
This is the prediction that I'm going to make. Glenn is going to come around to the idea that we need a non-interventionist foreign policy, which means non-interventionist, not, oh, when it's really, really important. I mean non. Either he comes to that or he doesn't. And this is going to come down to election time. Well, you know, they attacked us. They blew up our subway station like they did in Moscow. They did this. They did that. War is the health of the state. We got terrorism, and we're going. Because I just read that all of a sudden Obama and Sarkozy and all these guys, oh, yeah, we're going to Putin and help him with his Islamo-fascist terrorism. Oh, it was Islamo people. You know, I can see this coming, man. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I do. And like I said, you know, I don't have, you know, that full faith in Glenn Beck, you know, as someone who represents our movement in any way. And really what when he set that trap up for Medina you know, it was really disturbing because apparently he was getting behind Perry because he's a friend of Palin's, which is just ridiculous because clearly of the three candidates, you know, Hare, bailouts, or Deborah Medina was the one that was closest to Glenn Beck's own views. And so obviously he's not, you know, he's not just in it for the cause there. And that was kind of disturbing to see, and to see how the 9/11 question, you know, was
yeah, no, I see. It's always better to have a big handle block on the freedom oriented kind of thing so you can use it later when you want to, because it's not about convincing you as much as it is just confusing you, you know. So I'm keeping an eye on this thing. I'm glad Beck is doing, you know, coming as far as a lot of people are very happy that he's given credibility to stuff that they believe, but I'm like very careful at watching what's the fundamental root thing of this whole thing, and it is maintain the empire overseas, give them, keep feeding money into the system so that they can have more tanks. I mean, this is just, you know, just obvious to me.
Well, in that sense, I got to give Glenn Beck a lot of credit as a, you know, Fox News conservative commentator, that he actually has challenged those issues. He actually has taken those on. You know, and it's not that he's great on those issues, but he is not a, you know, rah-rah empire guy. He really is, you know, open-minded and challenging those
things. All right,
things.
Cool.
I think our attitude towards him has to be encouragement, you know, and bringing him in and accepting that. And, you know, and considering him a strong and powerful ally.
Well, the best he can get out of me, man, is just I ignore him.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. You know, I just like, yeah, I've seen guys like him come and go. But, you know, one thing before the end of this half hour, we got to let you go, is tell me how you're faring. I know you went through a process to make sure you got on the ballot and everything. Is that all secure? You're all good?
Yeah. Well, we went in on Tuesday. They originally told us it was Friday, and then the Secretary of State was like, oh, our bad, Tuesday. So we had three less days, but after what the Republican leadership pulled on us at the state convention, our volunteer base here was really fired up, and we went out and collected over 1,200 signatures from all 16 counties in just over a week. And depending on which number from the Secretary of State you want to count, it was three or four times what we actually needed. So we have now officially jumped through every hoop. We have cleared every hurdle. We have gone around every party hack. They will try to keep us off the ballot. There's nothing they can do to stop us.
Very cool. Give out your website, man.
Yeah, so we're trying to build up the war chest for this air war coming up for June 1st. So if you can donate today, we'd really appreciate it.
Website.
KokeshForCongress.com. KokeshFor Congress.com.
Listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9448.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. I don't need you. I've got to break free.
Yeah, I want to break free from not being free. It's not complicated. Now, Adam Kokesh, I went, you know, ran up right against the edge here because I wanted to finish up on some other stuff. I can talk to Adam all day. I mean, you know, this is, you know, he's a really good guy. But go to KokeshForCongress.com. That's KokeshForCongress.com. 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 And, you know, it's time to, you know, raise some money. I mean, he had to spend a bunch of money. All of a sudden, these signatures he had to get and everything, and, you know, doing whatever the heck they had to do, you know. But it's time to get some money. We're into campaigns on the ballot. It's time to go do some butt whipping. Because he knows what we're up against. And it's you really, really see rubber meeting road when you have your boot on the sand in Fallujah. And you got people dying around you. I mean, you see what this is really all about. And he gave a great speech. In today's archive, I'll put it up there, a link to his speech that he gave in Washington, D.C., just right before Dr. Paul came up. Man, he got the crowd whooping up. He's like, man, here we go. And he was a speaker for Iraq Veterans Against the War. And they linked up with a lot of the anti-war guys from the Vietnam era. And this is, you know, a lot of people there, when they went out, I was talking to some of the people that went to Searchlight last night at my birthday party. There was a lot of people there that had gone there. And they said, yeah, you know, there's hundreds of people they talked to, and they're passing out stuff. And they're, you know, there's thousands of people there and giving out these 7,000 DVDs. And they were all, yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and had the signs, love, not war, and they said, but there were a few people that come up, hey, you got all your freedom to do this because of war. We need war, got to have war. And I'm like, wow, yeah, there are still people like that. You know, that's how they roll. That's, you know, it's what we got. Kokesh for Congress, K-O-K-E-S-H for Congress. Go give them $5, $10, $100, $1,000, whatever. You know, go through a little bit that way. He's been endorsed by Dr. Paul. He's been endorsed by a whole bunch of people. I mean, you know, I got Andrew Napolitano has him on a show all the time. I mean, you know, he's well known. You go see some of his speeches and you'll go, wow, this is the next generation. He's in his 20s. You know, this is the next generation. This is a young man that really understands fundamentally what's wrong. This is what's coming. This is what the bad guys have to fear. And I would have spent a full hour with Adam, but I wanted to use this particular show as an opportunity to kind of dwell on this, because I knew I was having Adam on. This was a good opportunity to do this particular show, is to tell you real quick, you know, kind of my history. I grew up seeing the Vietnam War. Now, think about it. You know, from the mid-60s, I'm, you know, my first memories are, you know, while I'm thinking governments are giving you your grandmother. You know, I my first memories are, you know, Vietnam War and pulling triggers and bang, 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 and helicopters and stuff and tanks and co. You know, right on. It's like watching Patton and MASH and stuff would come out then. It's all the war, the war, the war. Well, I looking at this stuff and you see, yeah, we'll take some callers. You know, what I'll see is that we have this programming of an entire generation, but they needed to because what? Because we were the first generation that started to see that things weren't really as they were being portrayed on the news. You had people protesting civil rights against the war, against draft, the Republicans with Nixon and the corruption, and on and on and on and on. And then it goes right in. I get in and out of high school. You have enormous inflation. You have Iran hostages. You have Afghanistan, the Cold War, you know, the miracle in the Olympics and the U.S. hockey team beat the Soviets. Yay. Why was that such a big deal? I mean, all this stuff that comes into a realization that it's a psyop. It's a psychological battle. They spend trillions of dollars in public education and propaganda on the news and, you know, the blah, 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 blah to get you at least confused or believing that your neighbors are confused enough to be asking for more of this crap. But there's another generation coming. But there are people that have suffered and they believed in the system. They put the money in. They allowed themselves to be socially and economically engineered by being coerced or cajoled or incentivized to put in money into some retirement thing or IRA or 401k. I remember this when all these laws were being passed when I was a kid. I understood what was happening. You know, government's doing something to get my parents to put more money, you know, more of what they had in so they could not be taxed and to be in a nice big bucket so they could rip it off later. So I see it happen, and now my parents are in a situation to where, you know, financially they're in trouble because of medicines, because of health care. So what do? Let's go pass a health care thing. It's not going to be in time to help them, save them, do anything. You know, they've been spending all this money and taking all their assets, you know, just to get pain pills. I'm like, Dad, it's called marijuana, man. I mean, you know, but, oh, that'd be against the law. I remember my grandmother was dying. She's 94, and I went to her and I told her, I said, Grandma, you do not have to be in pain. What do you need? I'll get it for you. You do not have to be in pain. Well, she finally found there was some herb or plant or something in Hawaii. It was legal, and she got it, and it really helped her, you know, whatever it was. I can't remember. It was from Hawaii, and she was feeling a lot better. She's okay. Then what does the FDA? They want to come. They want to start regulating it. You know, this is the kind of stuff, and the people that you counted on to support this regime, to support this government, they are now the ones suffering the most. On front page of Freedom's Phoenix today, now we have, you know, baby boomers going homeless. Does Obama care? These people, no, they need to get rid of them. You know, they're like, good. Maybe they'll die in the cold. One less bill we got. One less person we got to cover. You think they love you or something? There's compassion up there? And they look at, you know, the libertarians and say, we don't have compassion. Why do you think we do this? Because we know they don't. We have to count on ourselves and our family and our neighbors and our community. You're counting on this gang with a flag to put a gun to somebody else's head and take money from them so they can redistribute to you. And, oh, by the way, they get their cut, and that cut keeps getting more, and they just rip it off. And then the pool of money that's supposed to be there for this kind of thing, all of a sudden it's gone. We're so sorry. Thanks for playing. What'd you think was going to happen? Well, let's see what Joe in Pennsylvania has to say. Go ahead, Joe.
Hello, Ernie.
Hello.
Hey, yeah, just a comment on Glenn Beck. It's very obvious, you know, first of all, he gets paid $40 million a year by Fox News, and he's definitely not being paid to $40 million to tell the truth. That's rather obvious. If people got paid that much money to tell the truth, you'd be a millionaire many times over.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, You know, he's pretty slick and he's pretty shrewd, because now he's very nice to Ron Paul every time he talks to him.
Because every time he's not, he gets hammered. I've seen maybe, I don't know, total over years, 10 minutes of Glenn Beck. You know, most of it probably on, you know, watching a YouTube or something. But I was at my brother-in-law's just last early in the month, and he had it on. Man, it's Glenn Beck time. Don't be talking. So I'm sitting there and he's doing one of his chalkboard things, and he did the history. Oh, we had the Declaration of Independence here. You've heard me do kind of a lot of the same stuff. We got Declaration of Independence and Articles of Confederation and the Constitution and so on. Oh, he was supporting the Constitution and then the Bill of Rights and so on. He goes, Constitution, yeah, you know, they had to do that because they had Articles of Confederation that was too anarchist enough. It didn't provide enough structure for, you know, the more perfect union. As if that was the goal. How about more perfect defense of individual rights? So he was, I could see what he was doing. He was making it, you know, hey, yeah, this Articles of Federation, you know, that's bunk. Or he'll go after 9/11 truthers. Or he'll go after pulling in the horns of the empire. Or he'll go after, you know, whatever, you know, support of Israel. Or we have to, you know, all the core things that you always know are a common thread with all these neocons, he's still on their page. It's just trying to bring the other people over to that. And I got an email from a friend of mine I talked about, I think yesterday, that she sent me maybe 3 emails over the years, and she's a good friend, but she's just not really politically, you know, involved. But she sent me this one thing, and it was from a student, supposedly, that said, yeah, you guys keep this, and we'll split. We want a divorce. We're going to separate the country, and all socialists can go over there. And since you're, like, anti-war and everything, we'll keep the military, as if all the good stuff that we want is over here, which includes war. And I'm going, it's a psyop. I'm going, and they got you doing it. They got you playing. You know, stop. What is the fundamental thing? And I'm like, you know, what do you think Glenn Beck's role is? I mean, you're right. You know, he's on, you know, they don't put you on Fox News and bring you overseas and do that, you know, because of, you know, I don't know. They want you to go free people. It's for a reason. What do you think it is?
He's a very skilled Judas goat. That is exactly what he is. And that's all he is.
And a Judas goat is there for the other goats to follow into the slaughter. I mean, that's what it is.
Exactly right.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, brother. You know, let's put it this way. I know that's the end result. I mean, how they do it, I don't know. I mean, and how long it'll go before they do it. But in the end, there will be an attack. There will be, you know, a subway, Moscow, New York station bomb, St. Louis Arch, Golden Gate Bridge, something blown up, mushroom cloud, toast, something. And when that happens, he's going to, yeah, but. Yeah, we all got to put this aside for the, you know, that's how they got the Patriot Act passed. That's how they get us into these wars. That's how they, it's always, so we got to come together right now, okay? And I see it being built up to that. I can feel it. And I want to be on this show and this archive and then going, look, you know, do I know exactly how they're going to do it? No. But, man, I am dead certain they're going to do it. You know, because that's what they always do. You want to look at the future, all you got to do is look at the past. You know, they're not going to do it. Of course they're going to do it. Where's the health of the state? You know, it's North Korea, they're going starving. What do? You know, all of a sudden we got a sinking, you know, and people dying, South Korean military vessel in challenged waters up there. And, dude, you know, distraction, neon flashing lights. Look over here, shiny objects. You know, I see it. So I hope you see it. I mean, I don't know. What do you see, Joe?
Well, you know, the only, and I know you have an optimistic outlook, ultimate optimistic outlook, although you see what's going on now, is that I guess the fact that they feel it necessary to pay this guy $40 million to be a Judas goat shows that we're doing something right, you know, because they've infiltrated, you know, the Tea Party's just been totally infiltrated and co-opted. And, you know, it started off as something good, something libertarian, and they've, with Sarah Palin, and Sarah Palin's nowhere near being a libertarian.
Well, Adam addressed that. He's saying, oh, there's a lot of local Tea Parties that just aren't playing. And I know this to be true. We had on this show guys from South Carolina when I was up in Philadelphia. They called me and they said, oh, they're inviting us to come in and we have three big groups here and they want us to be and we're going to work together. And I go, don't do it because I know what they're going to do. That night after they met with them, these guys went on Fox News, said they all pulled together and put underneath their Tea Party, whatever heck it was, and RNC controls, and now it's all together South Carolina. And they called, hey, Ernie, then I go, yeah, well, what did you think was going to happen? I told you not to do that. Now I said, if you want to go, just do a trifold piece of paper with all your contacts and names of all the different groups and people and the hive and just provide the information so everybody knows who everybody is and everybody can just contact everybody and be everybody. I go, you do that and it'll just, you know, be diversified and decentralized and you'll be of service and everybody will love you. Just do that. Nope. Didn't want to do it. They wanted to have a shiny badge. Well, I know these guys, you know, these guys in particular. I've met them many times, and they'll call me for advice. They really want my sanction. Oh, Ernie said. And I go, no, hell no. I go, this is not how you're going to do this. You are going to go in and give them your databases and say you're going to work with them, and they don't need you anymore. Thanks for playing. And that's exactly what happened. So, you know, fortunately, there's a lot of groups because of the internet and because of, you know, things like this show. A lot of people, you know, in the movement listen to this show. A lot of people listen to Free Talk Live. A lot of people, you know, pay attention to Love Evolution and Freedom's Phoenix and all. And they start to realize, they're going, yeah, I can see where this is going. So that's why we do the, you know, make love on their war kind of thing. You know, it's just, it's all a psyop. We give out thousands of those DVDs. This, and they're going to spread out from Searchlight, and they're going to go out across the United States. Certainly all the people in the RVs. And when they do that, what kind of impact are they going to have? I don't know, but it's better than not doing it. So I can see where this is going. It's always one more election cycle. We need to have some kind of justification in existence for the machine one more election cycle. But sooner or later, the math doesn't work. And it'll go, and this is why I always say, I said, won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. And when all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and the dollar's done, all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and the stock market took a big giant dump again, and all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and gold's at, you know, 2,500 and silver's at 200 or something like that. All of a sudden when that happens, you go, what happened? And I'll go, it's been happening. It's just everything's being positioned. Why do you think central, we talked about yesterday, all the central banks, they're at the highest percentage of gold reserves in actual physically taken delivery of gold since 1964. All of a sudden, what happened in 64? In 64, they stopped having 90% silver in their coins. That's why you have what they call junk silver, or this old silver dimes and quarters and half dollars that were 90% silver. They stopped that. Well, when they stopped actually putting silver in the money, what happened? All of a sudden, they said, you know what? I think we need to be getting a bunch. And then they kind of let it dwindle down. And then they turned gold into paper with, you know, all this paper kind of prom pinky swear it'll be gold someday and all this other stuff. Now they're going, give me the freaking gold. I want the gold. Big bars. Oh, let me check it. Oh, it's got tungsten in it? Who the heck did that? So, it's not a secret. This is not a secret. This is, you know, can you put the pieces together? And it always comes down to, it's really simple. Thanks for the call, Joe. I appreciate it, man. There, it comes down to just very simple, basic things. There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. I keep telling you, it's not more complicated than that. And to not leave you alone, they need a state, authority, a badge, a uniform, a gun. Free yourself.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Hey, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. In this final segment, I want to tell you a little update about what's going on here in Arizona. Campaign for Liberty has come out against the real ID thing, you know, what's going on with Russell Pierce here, a senator, is doing this immigration law and blah, blah, blah. And there's been meetings had and changes made, and they kind of address it. They're coming up against a lot more opposition than they anticipated, because in an election year, the Republicans here, they know that, man, you know, we know the truth. And this revolution thing, you want to play? You want to have this discussion in an election year? I don't care if you control the election dials on the computers anyway. It doesn't matter. We're going to make sure everybody knows what you did, okay? And this is what they did. They had the ability for reasonable suspicion. It's the lowest threshold possible for law enforcement. Now, it's not probable cause. It's not compelling whatever. It's reasonable suspicion. And you know what reasonable is? Whatever the heck they say it is. So this is the part that's of real concern. That's still in the bill. And I would say change it. This is the core. This is what I'm talking about when they, you know, blah, 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 libertarian, freedom, libertarian. But we got to have our military bases over there. Blah, 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 freedom. We shouldn't be taking all your money and redistributing it somewhere else unless it's for Israel. Okay. You know, this is the kind of mentality. There's always, except for when we really need it, though, whatever the hell it is that they want to do. Except as provided in federal law, officials or agencies, this is the law, of this state, counties, cities, towns, and other political subdivisions of this state may not be prohibited in any way, be restricted from sending, receiving, or maintaining information relating to the immigration status of any individual or exchanging that information with any other federal, state, or local government entity for the following official purposes. Number three, confirming the identity of any person who is detained. What does that mean? You cannot, on any level of government, with this law in Arizona, any local, that you cannot restrict a law enforcement of anybody from the government coming in contact with you that want to confirm your identity with the immigration status, with the federal government, with the Department of Homeland Security. You cannot stop or and they're indemnified. We're not going to get in trouble. You can't sue them, nothing. You know, but anybody is detained. For what? Detained. It's not even arrested. It's just detained. Papers, please, with a gun. This is, yeah, and this is what they Campaign for Liberty goes on to say. This language is in no way prohibits law enforcement from sharing the personal information of citizens of the United States during the vetting process. I contend that the Department of Homeland Security has made their intentions clear. They want the personal information of Americans either through direct electronic access or indirect access. I appreciate that currently the federal government has much of our personal information already. Fact is, that information is spread out over many departments and agencies of the federal government. Department of Homeland Security wants a more centralized system, and thus we have witnessed the Real ID Act of 2005 and now the Pass ID Act. Because the standards for both Real ID and Pass ID are adopted standards of two international organizations, AAMVA and the ICAO, the driver's license would become not simply a national ID, but more accurately, an international ID. International standards are only used to facilitate global information sharing. We already knew this was coming. It's called the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative. That's why when Napolitano had, oh, we're banning Real ID in Arizona. They always say it. Oh, we banned Real ID in Arizona. Governor Napolitano, Director of Homeland Security now, signed it. Well, of course she did. They already had it. It was called the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative. Our driver's license is already a Western Hemisphere travel document with a bio blah, 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 blah. This is coming. And now they want to indemnify law enforcement for sitting there until they determine your immigration status. And I don't care if you're a freckle-faced, redhead, white boy. They're going to do it because you got to have your papers on you. Get it? This is going on right now here in Arizona. It's coming up for another committee thing this week and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'll let you know what happens, but I just want you to know we know what's going on. And the legislators, you vote for this, we're going to know who you are, what you did, and you know we know you know we know you know.